Welcome to the Kona Edge, where you'll discover what the best triathletes in the world do to give them the edge.
Welcome onto this edition of the Kona Edge. I'm having a quiet chuckle to myself because I think this may be one of the noisiest podcasts I do record. As Murphy would have it, I'm pretty pressed for time while trying to get this out. And it happens to be, one, raining in Cape Town, which I'm not complaining about. We need the rain. We're having an incredible drought at the moment. So any rain is more than welcome. But we're having a thunderstorm, which is so out of character for the Mother City. We never have thunderstorms here. So there's thunder and lightning going around. So that's the first thing. The second thing is it's garbage truck day today. So the garbage truck is just about to arrive. I can hear the dogs barking down the road. So you might hear dogs barking and you might hear a garbage truck. And number three, our garden service decides today is the day to arrive. So as we speak, they outside in the rain mowing our lawn. So it's going to be an interesting podcast to say the least. But thank you for joining me today. And I've got another incredible story to share with you. Arlene Ayoub joins us today. And she's got an incredible story to share. That's coming up in just a moment. And we've got exciting things happening here behind the scenes at the Kona Edge. We've been working furiously to sort of make things happen and make the podcast self-supportive. We've had a whole bunch of people help us out by becoming patrons of the show. If you haven't become a patron yet, I'd like to urge you to, because it helps us keep the lights on and the hamster wheel turning. But I've got some awesome things in the pipeline. I'm very, very excited. Some of the stuff we're going to roll out over time, some of the stuff's available right now, and it's going to be happening lots in the weeks and months to come. So the first thing I wanted to share with you, I'm recording this on Wednesday, Wednesday the 26th of April is the date today. If you're listening to it when it comes out, you'll get it. But next week, Tuesday, which is just under a week from now, and I'll tell you the exact date as we speak. It's the beginning of May. It's the 2nd of May. So Tuesday, the 2nd of May. One of the patron levels, support levels, there you have it. There's some lightning for you. Cape Town lightning and thunder. So one of the support levels is something called a surprise, surprise interview. And we've got our first one lined up. I'm not going to tell you who it is. All I'm going to tell you is they're a multiple Ironman winner. They're a multiple 70.3 winner. They're also, I'm just thinking, if memory serves me correctly, they're the current long-distance world champion, the former 70.3 world champion, and we're going to have them chatting to us here on the Kona Edge. So if you'd like to be part of that interview, if you'd like to get all the details and find out who it is, I've announced it on the Patreon page already. All you have to do is head over to thekonaedge.com/support, and any level of support is welcome. From a dollar really helps us keep things going here. I've also been in discussions with some big brands in the triathlon space. And what we are going to be doing, I haven't announced this before on the podcast, but every month we're going to be giving something away. So it might be a wetsuit, it might be a helmet, it might be a bicycle, it might be a sports watch, who knows? I'm chatting to lots of brands and there's lots of interest because we've got a fairly decent sized audience. So every single month, we're going to be giving away something, but the only people who get to go into the draw for that are patrons of the Kona Edge. Obviously, we want to try and keep this going, and there are costs involved. So if you haven't done it yet, please go over to thekonaedge.com/support. Literally a dollar a month. That's 5 US cents a podcast that you listen to is what you'll be supporting at a dollar a month, which is nothing. $5 a month, it's a quarter. A quarter, 25 cents is what it's going to cost you over a month per podcast. So that is absolutely nothing. There's obviously higher tiered levels as well. And that's all on the way. Also, don't forget, we're giving away another Ironman entry. I'm going to give you details about that a little bit later on in today's podcast. And let's get some other housekeeping out of the way, and then we'll touch base with Arlene Ayoub. It's time for today's Coach's Corner. If you're an athlete looking for a coach, it doesn't matter where you are in the world, we've got access to some of the best triathlon and Ironman coaches around. If you'd like to find out more or hook up with one of our coaches, whether you need help with a swim, bike, run, or nutrition, all you have to do is head over to theconaedge.com/coaching. You can get all the details there. Check out all the coaches that we've got access to. And don't forget, too, if you are a coach and you would like to get access to the podcast and get a bit of a plug on the podcast, all you have to do is head over to that same URL, okay? It's theconaedge.com/coaching. Scroll down to the bottom of the page and you can get all the details there. So that's theconaedge.com/coaching. Welcome on to the Kona Edge, and we go to Montreal now to catch up with Arlene Ayoub. Arlene, welcome. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. It's nice to be talking to you, someone who's in the nice warm weather.
Yeah, you were just telling me before we started recording, obviously the weather in Montreal right now is not conducive to Ironman training. You had a massive blizzard. There's lots of snow about.
We've got lots of snow there. Crews are out cleaning up about 50 centimeters of snow. Cars were abandoned. Cars were snowed in. Kids were off school. It was really a mess.
Wow. You must have a pretty good relationship with your indoor train and your treadmill then.
Yes, we train indoors about 3 days a week on our bikes. And actually, we run indoors also. We try and get outside on the weekends for longer runs if the weather permits. But we're certainly dressed with trail shoes and warm weather, cold weather clothing, yeah.
I mean, you're a Canadian. You're used to it. This has been part of your life, I'm sure. I mean, you wouldn't want it any other way, I guess.
You think we'd be used to it. We spend a lot of time talking about the weather and comparing war stories about blizzards from years gone by. It's a huge preoccupation with Canadians.
I spent quite a bit of time in the States as soon as I finished high school, and I was an exchange student in Montgomery, Alabama, of all places. And one of my host families knew a Canadian family down in Florida, and they just used to dodge winter, so they used to head down to Florida. But there's a massive Canadian contingent down in Florida. Ever thought of moving to somewhere a bit more tropical during winter?
Well, we actually were very lucky and spent a month in Hawaii, and there's a lot of Canadians down there, mostly Westerners, people from BC and Calgary. In fact, I think I met more Canadians in the month of January in Maui than I did Americans.
That's quite funny. As far as the sports, Arlene, where did your interest in triathlon stem from? Where did it all begin?
I started running first. I started running when my children were late teenagers, and just for something to do on my own. Sort of just grabbed a pair of running shoes and went out running, and found that I actually loved it. So I started with the running. I started with the marathon, and then, like most things, the way most things go. I had friends that were doing triathlon, and probably over a couple of glasses of wine, we all decided to sign up for Ironman. Not knowing how to swim, I had a year to learn how to swim, and I've been doing it ever since. So that was my first one was in 2005.
Why is there always wine involved in these decisions, Ollie?
Most, yes. I don't know if it was a good decision or a bad decision, but I anyway.
You mentioned that you started running just obviously to get out and time for you and to be with you, essentially. When did you realize you actually had some ability? You were pretty good at these things.
Gosh, you're only as good as your last event, I suppose. I just knew that I enjoyed it and that I was getting better as I went along. And then it became a social thing. I had a lot of friends that I trained with, and that was a big part of my enjoyment. And it was fun to discover something new about myself later on in life, if I can say. And I when, you know, first Ironman, I finished it, and I thought, well, okay, that's not too bad. I guess I'll keep going. And, you know, 10 years later, I'm still at it. So I've learned a lot with every race. And as far as being good at it, well, I'm still enjoying it. So I think that's more of a factor.
Brilliant. Eileen, it's interesting you say that you... I mean, you started running, or you discovered something new about yourself later on in life. And I think as a mom, it's difficult, because I think most women struggle with that, particularly once they've had kids, that they almost put their kids and their husbands sort of in the forefront, and they almost neglect themselves. And it's quite inspiring. I know a couple of people here in South Africa. There's a good example of an ultra marathon runner. She's got two little girls. She's a chartered accountant, and she's realized that she's actually pretty good, and she's winning races, and not as an age group, but as a professional now, which is amazing. And sometimes it's important to do stuff for you as a mom, and take that time, because it allows you to sort of grow as a person, essentially, isn't it?
Yeah, I totally agree. You know, I'm 60, so I didn't grow up doing sports. I never did sports, and so this was a revelation for me. And I think that it's become such a huge part of my life, and it's keeping me healthy. That I would encourage any mother, anybody that's got obligations and responsibilities, whether they're children or work, to not forget that aspect, that part of their lives, and get out doing whatever. It doesn't have to be Ironman, or, you know, it doesn't have to be triathlon, but just get out and move. It's so good for your body and your head.
How do you get the juggle right, the balance of everything? Family life, work life, training. I mean, you say it doesn't have to be an Ironman, but a lot of work goes into training for an Ironman for you personally. How do you keep that balance?
Well, I now work, I'm self-employed, so my schedule's quite flexible. I can also work remotely, so keep my clients up to date that way. I don't have children at home anymore. I have grandchildren now. So it still involves a bit of juggling. You know, sometimes you get yourself in trouble when you overschedule. I think as women, we try and please too many people, and we try and do as much as we can for everybody. So scheduling for me is a big thing. I have to be careful not to overdo. But it kind of sorts itself out.
With regards to you talk about the training and having that family balance, your husband's also involved in the sport. He also is a pretty good athlete in his own right as well. Do you get to train together much, or are you pretty competitive when you're together, and it's best that you don't train together, otherwise you end up racing all the time?
No, we train together. We're not competitive against each other. In fact, he's really got much more of a background than I do, so he helps Dan a lot. In fact, he's my coach. He writes all my programs. It's so nice that we're both doing it, because it can be difficult for a couple. If one is very involved in a sport or any hobby, and the other one is not. So it's very... it's a blessing that we're both involved. And in fact, we were at Kona together this year.
That's awesome. I love that. What do your kids think about this?
I think they're proud of us. You know, they're kind of in the thick of things right now. They've got little kids and big jobs, and so they're busy. They kind of just watch us coming and going, and, you know, they don't like to hear about if we've fallen or if we had some kind of mishap. That worries them. The grandkids, we have four grandchildren, they don't know any different. They think this is what all grandparents do. So they're not the least.
I love that. You know that you're condemning them to at some stage in their life do this, don't you, Eileen? I grew up in a family. My dad's an ultramarathon, and I swore that I would never do it. And my brother now does ultramarathons. He does Ironmans. I do the same, and it's all because of my dad. But we did get him back. We sucked him into Ironman at 67. So he did his first Ironman at 67. So there we go.
That's lovely.
I'm sure your kids at some stage are gonna want to do this. Eileen, life lessons out of Ironman. What are some of the biggest things that the sport has taught you?
I would say two things. Run your own race. I learned early on in racing that not to chase anybody, just to run my own race, listen to my own inner voice. And you know what? You end up just where you're supposed to be in a race. And I think that translates very easily to the way I view life. Just, you know, keep going and do it. Once you have an idea of what you're supposed to be doing, be true to that. And another thing is steadiness. Steadiness for me in a race is huge. I try and stay within a certain parameter and respect that. And you know, everybody knows in an ultraman, in an Ironman, you have moments where you just want to give up, and you're always wondering, what the heck am I doing this for? And then you eat something and you feel better. You keep going. So it's managing the ups and downs of our energy levels and our moods, and that translates also to life. You know, there's some days you wake up and it's raining and you don't want to go to work and you hate everything that's going on any particular day, and another day you've been in a totally different mood. So run your own race and just persevere.
Have you got any regrets? Do you wish you possibly had started earlier?
I wish I had started earlier, but no, I wouldn't. It would have been maybe had a different result. I think the way it happened was that I had the time to do it when it started. So I never had any, I never felt guilty about taking time away from young kids. I had older teenagers, but I never had that extra burden of worrying that, you know, somebody wasn't getting fed on time or somebody's homework wasn't getting done because I was somewhere else. And so it worked out. Yeah.
And sometimes it's better to get away from teenagers because it'll stop you from killing them.
Absolutely.
And I say that as a father of a teenager, so I speak from experience. So without a doubt. As far as age and as you get older in the sports, obviously you can't keep getting faster. How do you sort of deal with that? It's something I think a lot of age groupers who are getting slightly older grapple with. It's difficult. It's not something that I'm sure you like thinking about.
Getting older, I also see friends around me that are dealing with health issues. So at least might not be getting faster, but I'm still in there and I'm still doing it, and it's a blessing, and I hope I will be able to do it until I'm 90. You know, I'd like to keep going as long as I can.
Is that the plan? I mean, you look at there were 80-year-olds at Kona in 2016. I mean, that's super inspiring for anyone. Is that the plan? Do you want to keep going as long as you can keep going?
Yeah, I wish they'd stop raising the bar. We've got, you know, Sister Madonna and several others of these lovely ladies, and they keep going. And darn, that's another year I'm going to have to keep going. Yeah, as long as I'm healthy, I would love to be out there 90.
I always joke that my strategy to get to Kona is to outlive everyone in my age group, but it's not looking good at the moment. There's some really, really fast old guys. So I'm going to have to come up with a different one. Eileen, what's so special? What is it that's so special about Kona? If I say the word Kona, what do you think?
You know, I respect. It is a race that, oh boy, it comes and gets you. It just, it's an Ironman like you've done before, but gosh, you know, the level is of the participants is just that much higher. So you're intimidated. The weather for, particularly for any North Americans going there, can be very challenging. The winds are, it's very hard not to be discouraged. And then you get out and you're on that run, and you want to get out and finish before it gets too dark. And you can still hit, coming back and hear Mike Riley's voice, and you think, okay, I can hear him. I must have been not too far away. But I have a lot of respect for that course. It is truly challenging. And anybody that goes out there and tries their best should be very proud of themselves.
What's the secret to having a good race on the Big Island?
Well, I think you can't give too much in the swim. I think you have to conserve your energy. If you go, too hard in the swim, you're going to come out, A, dehydrated, and B, exhausted. And the other secret for me is that I know that going out, maybe the winds won't be as difficult, but as soon as you turn around and have E, as the day goes on, those winds come up stronger and stronger, and you're tired. Now you're tired. And you've got to just put your head down and keep your legs moving, not try to be a hero and push big watts. Just keep your head down and keep going. And the run, well, it's going to be humid. It's going to be really hot. And once you've gone out on the first loop, which isn't quite half, and you go up on the highway, you've got a big climb there. And that that can also come and get your morale down, because then you're just facing this highway that it just seems to go on and on and on forever. So it's it comes back a little bit to what I was saying before, managing your mood and cutting up your goals in very small pieces. In other words, if you can get to the next light and get to the next kilometer marker, get to the next food station, by little by little, you'll just heat it up and get the course done. So it's not, don't let yourself get discouraged and conserve your energy early on.
That's great advice, not just for Kona. That's great advice for anybody, particularly who's doing their first Ironman, because it's, you look at that distance on paper, you think to yourself, that's crazy. Like, why am I doing this? And if you break it up, it just makes it more manageable. And I think, I don't know if you'd agree, that's probably the best bit of advice I would give to an out-and-out novice.
Yeah, it's a long day. You can't wish it to be over. You've just got to be, and you've got to stay present in your activity. If you're running, sometimes I just kind of listen to my footfalls, or sometimes I try and listen to breathing of people around me. Something that keeps you in the moment, not kind of, what am I going to have for the post-race party? Just kind of try and stay in the moment and live it every step of the way. Because, you know, Kona, I don't know if I'll ever go back. God willing, I will, but, you know, you have to enjoy it while you're there.
Yeah, there's no guarantees. That's, I think, the big thing too. And it's funny, every age group that I speak to who's been, they say that to me, that you never know if this is going to be your last one or not. And you've got to soak it up. And it's difficult, because I don't think anyone has a perfect race on the Big Island, because the distance of the race is so long and the duration so long. You might have a lot that goes right, but there's always one or two things that go wrong. Have you had the perfect race, or is there still something out there that you think can go better?
I've ever had a perfect race. I've had some perfect parts of a race, like a perfect run or a good bike and a good swim, but having them all together on one day, oh boy, that would be incredibly lucky. I think that you have to have perfect moments within the best you can do.
Mm. Aline, what do you still want to achieve in this sport? What's left to do?
I would like to do. I'd like to keep working on my biking. I'd like to be able to. So I've been working on that this winter indoors. I'd like to travel to some more locations. I've never been over to Asia, or I've never done any events in Europe. So that might be something on the bucket list. I think I'm any opportunity that I'm given to participate in this, in triathlon, I have the time and I have the health to do it. So I'm really open. I'm really open to any opportunity. Mm.
Recovery is a big one as age catches up as well. How many of these sort of races do you think you've got in you a year, particularly Ironman distance? Because they do take it out of you, and the older you get, the tougher it gets to bounce back.
Yeah, for me, it's less about, I think, the number of events and more about me taking enough recovery days in my schedule. So this year I'll be doing a half in Florida in 3 weeks. Then I'll be doing the half here in Toronto in June, and probably the full here in August. So, and just having done Kona last fall, that'll give me two fulls and two halves within a 12-month. Yeah.
Do you feel that's the ideal for you right now?
Yeah. Yeah. I feel I can handle that schedule without too much difficulty. But then again, it also involves that I have to schedule recovery days within my week.
Mm. And that's vital. And I think that's probably one of the big mistakes that athletes getting into the sport make, is they feel like they've just got to keep going, and it's just all or nothing, and a lot of them break down and get burnt out. Recovery is just so important, and like you say, more so in the actual weekly training than after a race or bouncing back after a race.
Yeah, and I think a piece of advice that I would give people that are just getting into it, you know, it's not about the race, it's about the process. And so if you're hating the process, then you'll just do one Ironman and you'll never go back. So learn to like the process, have fun doing it. And if you have a bad training day, try and see what you can learn from that. You know, don't compare yourself to others. If you've had a bad training day, well, maybe you've had a lousy day at work, or you have a cold or something. What can you learn from it? Well, I shouldn't have pushed myself to do it. I should have stayed home that day. It wasn't healthy. Or, gosh, maybe I haven't been training as the way I should. Or maybe I'm not eating the way I should. There's something to be learned from every time we go out the door.
Aline, you mentioned that you got to learn to love the process. What are some of the things you can do? And I find it interesting that your hubby coaches you, because that could make a couple of interesting dinner conversations, I'm sure. But is it a case of really if something's not working for you, sit down with your coach and sort it out, as opposed to trying and hammering out those things and getting to a point where you're absolutely hating it.
Yeah, you know, just because it's written on paper doesn't mean you have to. You have to do it. And if my husband was here, he'd tell you that I'm probably his most difficult athlete. But yeah, you know, the training program and the process is supposed to work for you, not the other way around. So if there's something that's not jiving, then yeah, take a minute or two and sit down and rethink it. You know, a training program is specific to an athlete. So what can you get out of that training program that's going to make you a better person and a better athlete? And you know, surround yourself with people that are training. If they're better than you, then you're going to learn something. If they're not as strong as you, well, then you can help them, because we've all been helped in our process of becoming triathletes. Sometimes just go out and have an easy run and enjoy nature. You'll come back with more resourced and with a smile on your face. If you're ending every training with exhausted and miserable, something's not right.
Yeah, it's not going to last long. Like you say, you might stick around for one or two, but then you're going to go on and find golf or something. And yeah, golf's definitely not as fun as an Ironman, I think.
Yeah. No, but most people don't understand. I don't think most people understand the way we think, but yeah, I would agree with you.
Absolutely. Aline, and then just finally to wrap things up, looking at some of your achievements over your career, what are you most proud of?
The time. I mean, I'm proud of my times. I'm proud of the way I've conducted myself in races. Sometimes I've had to lend a hand to somebody else in a race, slow down and talk to them. So I am proud of the way that I've run my races as a human being, and not as a hugely competitive athlete at no cost. And I think I'm proud of the fact that the people that I train with we're all still talking to each other after all these years. So I think we have a pretty good group and a pretty good recipe for going through Ironman training.
Brilliant. Well, Aline, thank you so much for your time on this edition of the Cone Edge. Much appreciated. I look forward to getting you on to talk a little bit about your individual disciplines, but we'll save that for another time. Thanks for your time today.
Thank you.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that episode of the Cone Edge. She's awesome, isn't she? Love that. Aline, thank you so much for sharing your story with us. And if there's someone that you think I should chat to, I get lots of requests for interviews on the podcast. There is one proviso. If you haven't raced on the Big Island, I can't chat to you, unfortunately. So that's the deal. I'm pretty much open to chatting to anyone who's raced on the Big Island. So if you've raced on the Big Island and you'd like to share your story, or if you know someone who you think would be a good fit, please just pop me an email. brad@thekonaedge.com is my email address. We've been getting some amazing reviews as well here on the podcast, going in this week from D. Solberg in the United States, giving us a 5-star review. Saying, excellent interviews, advice, and perspectives from a wide variety of Kona qualifiers. I couldn't enjoy the podcast more and will definitely refer fellow triathletes to the show. Brad's unique, candid, and positive attitude are the perfect complement to professionally produced podcasts. D. Solberg, you are a legend. Thank you so much for those kind words. And if you haven't left us a review, please do head over to thekonaedge.com/win. You can get the details there of exactly how you can leave a review. But you also stand in line to win an Ironman entry if you leave us a review. So I'm going to pay once again this year for someone to race an Ironman anywhere in the world out of my pocket. So go check it out. That's thekonaedge.com/win. And that's enough of me rambling on. Until tomorrow, have yourself a superb Wednesday. Take care of you and yours, and we look forward to catching up there. Cheers.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of The Kona Edge. Don't forget to connect with us on social media. Simply search for the Kona Edge.